Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are discussing tight end snap reactions week 4. Dawson Knox, tight end 6. Just figured I'd put that out there. he has 4 touchdowns, so that is a position leading figure with Rob Gronkowski. So that helps in terms of the scoring. I think it's fascinating because he adds an element to that offense that they don't have. I've been wondering for a while, like, hey, how do you get that element? And Dawson Knox was always that's a great answer. That would, like, if we expected that would have been a great answer. I didn't fully expect this breakout. Probably should have given it a little bit more credit than we did. I don't know if it's a full breakout in terms of like a totally different player. It's probably some touchdown regression stuff, if I had to guess. You know, if I had to sort of posit a thing, four touchdowns on 15 catches, that is definitely a thing. When you look at his receiving grade over at PFF, for instance, in his rookie year, 55, in his second year, 56.8, and 2021, 70.2. So that's a pretty good increase. Career yards per route run at 1.1. This year is at 1.25, which is a pretty sizable increase. And actually, when you look at it, his I should amend that, because his average actually includes this year. He hadn't done better than 1.1. So it was 1.1 and 1.04 the past 2 years. He has 1.25 this year. So it actually drags up his average quite a bit in terms of where it was. It would have been right about 1.07. So a pretty sizable increase there in terms of that. So that's pretty good in terms of where he's at on the year. So that's, I mean, there's usage there. I mean, he's got a little bit lower of an ADOT too, which might explain it. His contested catch rate is up. So he's got 5 contested throws, 4 catches so far. He hadn't done better than 43% earlier in his career. And so that's, you know, partially some of, again, that's some of that's variance. So I wouldn't get totally over the moon. I'm not paying like top 10 prices for him, but I think it's interesting. I think it's an interesting, you know, can he take a full step forward? I think that's certainly one that we can, you know, I'm rooting for it for that matter. When you look at his overall grade, at present, he is 13th in terms of receiving grade at the position. So again, that's kind of fits into where you would otherwise expect him going forward. You know, it's not the same thing in terms of receiving grades, but it's similar in terms of where he falls in terms of how we think about the position. And he's not, and the one thing I'll say too, again, I don't like a lot of these narrative things, but this is why he's a good example of why we should keep a wide range of outcome. Very, very raw developmental player, showed a little bit as a rookie, kind of came on late in the season, then had COVID in his second year and sort of all over the place in terms of not really much development, maybe even some regression we could point to. And you could say, all right, like year 3, like he's just not, like it's just not going to happen. But with such a raw prospect, he did offer some physical traits and stuff like that. He didn't have a touchdown in college. Right? That's a very rare thing. You could say, hey, he's just unproductive. You could also say, like, hey, you know, I think he was a quarterback, if memory serves. Like, he didn't come in playing tight end, if memory serves. Like, there was some developmental stuff with him that was just sort of odd. And all told, you could say, hey, listen, you know, this is a good example of why you keep a wide range of outcomes on players. And so he's a good example of that. Again, he's been the beneficiary of some positive variance. Again, 4 touchdowns on 19 receptions. Like, 20% is pretty good. So 20% is pretty good. So that's, you know, that will definitely come down. But hopefully his volume will come up and we'll see some good performance here over the next quarter to 3 quarters of the season. So, up at the top, you know, Gronkowski, we're watching his injury stuff. So that's a big thing we're going to be watching for here. in terms of his where he's at. Dalton Schultz, fourth in terms of scoring at the position. Again, I'm not sure how he's – I'm not sure he's a huge he's a huge overt talent, but a second PFF grade. Like his PFF grade is number two. His yards per route run, this is just incredible. His yards per route run ranked second behind behind Travis Kelce. So that's a pretty ripe number there in terms of his overall production. Again, I'm not sure the volume is totally going to be there long term, especially if you get Gallup back. Is it volume totally there? That's a concern that I have, but he's definitely on a good track right now. And again, it's three touchdowns. So yeah, I mean, is he up a little bit over the guys around him? Absolutely. And for example, like Mark Andrews has zero, Kittle has zero. They're 9 and 10 at the position, right? So yeah, you have those concerns there. But I would say, like, ultimately, if he's going to fit sort of in the range of in the range of being in the top, like 10 to 12 in terms of routes, ultimately, I think that'd be pretty good. He's 20th right now. So again, he's outperforming his number, overt number of routes. But you already do have some injuries and stuff going on ahead of him. For example, like Logan Thomas is hurt. You know, so there's some guys ahead of him that I expect to come down. Like Eric Ebron is 18th in terms of routes, and there's no way at his current production pace that's going to continue. So you sort of get the idea there. A name that I do think it warrants considering, he has done virtually nothing so far, but he has run a ton of routes, which is Tyler Kroft. He has run 89 routes through four games. That's 21st at the position. And again, it's 0.52 yards per route run. And maybe he's just not good, but there's a lot of volume there in terms of, in terms of being involved in the offense. We saw that with a guy like Uzama this past week. I think that warrants some thought. Max Williams, a guy that, you know, we kind of like, has really produced well. 15 receptions on 16 targets. So he's absolutely crushing the variance there. 2.08 yards per route run, which it ranks, this is incredible, third at the position. It's more on the wide receiver two in terms of, tight end two in terms of snap routes run overt. You know, total aggregate number. But when you look at the efficiencies, it's way up there. Again, he's not going to catch 15 out of 16 balls. It's just not going to happen over the long term. But again, if he sort of comes down a little bit, some offense that has some easy opportunities for him, he absolutely adds a different element. So I think Max Williams being on the on the radar of the tight end 1-2 type fringe, totally. I think that's totally possible, especially with with only one touchdown right now. You feel like pretty good with him being tight end 13 on the season. Some routes run stuff I think is interesting. Jared Cook is sixth. He's 12th in terms of points scored, so that's notable. Pitts is third in terms of routes run, so he is down at 20th in terms of points. So he has 15 catches, 189 so far. When you look at his yards per route run, it's 1.36, which is actually right at where Hockenson is. So Hockenson just has basically about 20 or so routes more than Pitts does through two games. Hockenson, the second most routes, Waller the first. And then there's a little bit of a gap down to Andrews at fifth. So, again, I think Andrews is probably one of the bigger buys at the position, too. Again, I think you could go down to him. I think you go up to him. It's kind of how I always like to try and, if I can go up to them. I think he's one to go up from. Like, if you wanted to go up to him from Higbee, for example, that'd be an interesting pivot. I don't know. Cole Kmet, for example, has 19th in terms of routes run so far. He just hasn't done anything. He's at point 0.63 yards per route run, just not. And I don't know if anyone's buying anything from Chicago. But that's one you could potentially, that's, I don't think that's a jump you can actually make, but like those types of jumps, like Dalton Schultz to Mark Andrews would be another one. Rob Gronkowski to Mark Andrews would be an interesting one as well. Those are ones that, and you know, heck, Pat Freiermuth, I don't know if that's going to actually get you anywhere, but he is 30th in terms of yards per route run, he's 30th in terms of routes run, 1.21 yards per route run. So that's a healthy number, and that's actually pretty good in terms of historic numbers. We're feeling good about that as a developmental track, especially in that dumpster fire that is that offense. Jordan Akins is 34th in terms of routes run through four games. That's not great. I'll say one name that is very high in terms of routes run thus far, and that is Anthony Firkser. 68 routes run and only two games. So when you sort of divide that out, that is 34 per game. You know, when you sort of look at that on a total, if you sort of aggregate that out, it puts him at 136. That would be fifth at the position. So bear that in mind, that's a pretty good pace. Again, he hasn't fully broken out for production stuff, but I wouldn't totally write him off yet either. 59 routes run for Evan Engram so far. It's a disaster, pretty much. 0.81 yards per route run, 59 routes, two games. He's a dismal PFF grade. I think he's more of a long-term hold right now than anything. He is, by way of reference, 47th out of qualifiers in grades. There's only two guys that have graded worse than him: Eric Ebron and Jeff Swaim. So my Eric Ebron, Evan Engram, E squared times two stacks have not performed up to snuff. Some other notable, I guess, names here in terms of some guys further down the line. I think, you know, Gerald Everett was one that we might have had some hope for. Hasn't really done a ton. He is down at 28th at the position. He's 22nd in terms of PFF grade so far. But again, it's 31st in terms of routes run. He's missed a game, so I know that was COVID related. So we'll see what the recovery timeline is for him on all that, and we wish him well. Jack Doyle is sort of plotting his way to 81 targets. Again, that's 26th. Hayden Hurst is 26th as well in terms of 81 targets, 0.78 yards per route run, only 11 targets so far. I was hoping there would be more on the bone than that for him. So, you know, we'll have to, maybe on a second contract that'll happen. I think a big name too is Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert. So Goddard 102 routes, Zach Ertz 99. Dallas Goedert 1.84 yards per route run. That's pretty good. Zach Ertz as well, 1.55. Also not bad. So he's actually seen a little bit of a resurgence so far. One other name of note here that played quite a bit, basically played all of the snaps in the absence of Logan Thomas, was Ricky Seals-Jones. So I don't have a ton of hope for Ricky Seals-Jones, but I do think, you know, if Logan Thomas is going to miss some time, that is one that warrants monitoring and discuss. Again, I don't think he's good, but I don't think Logan Thomas was particularly difference making in terms of his overt talent. You know, he's essentially right at about average. So we'll see there how long his injury is. Looks like it's going to be week to week. According to the Washington Post here, we don't know the full extent of it, and hopefully we'll see. You know, and I would say, like, watch later in the week, because the IR designation will be a big deal, right? If it's going to be no IR, like, that'll give you hopefully a closer return date than if it was put on IR, right? He can't come off before 3 weeks. So all right, well, that'll pretty much do it for the tight end position. There isn't a ton else to really to really monitor here at this point for this week. So that'll do it. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.